So back to the story of Jonah. And we've seen that this is the story of a believer who deliberately disobeyed God's clear command. We're not talking here about a believer who wasn't sure what God's will was for him. There are those times when we simply don't know what God's will is. We're confused. We can't be sure. We hope we're making a right decision, but we fear we may be making a wrong decision. It wasn't like that. There was no confusion in Jonah's mind. God told him to go to Nineveh, and he said, I'm not going. This isn't a case of a believer who got his guidance wrong. That does happen at times. There are times when believers look for guidance about what they should do, and maybe they use a wrong or foolish method of trying to get guidance. And the result is that they do something which is against God's will. But it wasn't like that here. God hadn't just guided Jonah. God told him very directly, you are to go to Nineveh. This isn't a case of a believer who was just tripped up and found that he had done something sinful. That happens to us at times. We're in a situation and somebody throws a difficult question at us, and almost as a reflex action, we've said something that just isn't true. We've lied. And afterwards we look back and we say, I lied. It just came to my lips. Or we're in a situation where we're provoked and we just lose our temper and say something unfair. And it wasn't that we planned to do it. We've just been tripped up by Satan. No, it wasn't like that. This was deliberate, planned disobedience on Jonah's part. It wasn't the case of a believer who drifts into some sinful pattern of behavior without really realizing the seriousness of what he's doing. That happens to us, doesn't it? Maybe we get into a habit of laziness in which we lie in bed too long in the morning and with each morning that passes we become more lethargic. And it's wrong, it's sinful, because we're neglecting our duties. But you couldn't say that it's planned disobedience. It's just a foolish, unhelpful drift. We're not talking about any of those things. We're talking about a believer who knew exactly what he was doing. And he knew what the implications were. He knew exactly what God's command was. He decided that he was going to disobey God. He realized that this was something that was going to change the whole course of his life. He had been called as a prophet. And he was simply abandoning that calling to be a prophet. He was saying, I refuse to prophesy. I refuse to go to the people God sends me to and tell them God's word. And he ran away from God. That's what makes it so clear that this was deliberate disobedience. He says, I'm going to get away to a place where I won't hear God's voice any longer. He's a believer, and yet he commits a sin of deliberate, planned disobedience against God. Well, I hope that during the course of this series so far, one thing has come out very clearly. I hope it's come out to you, just the foolishness and the wickedness and the danger for a believer in disobeying a plain command of God and running away from God. What a way to treat God. The God who first gave us life and then sustains us and protects us all the days of our life, but then does so much more. The God who we believe has chosen us and drawn us to himself and made us his own and invited us to share his work, to turn round to that God and simply to say, I won't do what you say. What wickedness that is. What Jonah did was simply wicked. Deliberately he looked into the face of God and said no. No to the God who had made him. No to the God who had guarded him. No to the God who had loved him. No to the God who had used him in the past. No, I won't do it. What wickedness that was. But what foolishness as well. What could be more foolish than that, deliberately to defy the living God? Jonah says that his God is the creator of all things. He says, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. He knew that. He knew he was provoking the Almighty. It's wicked. It was so foolish. And it was so dangerous. We read about where that decision brought Jonah. We've read about how he finished up being thrown into the sea. How he sank and was drowning in the sea. We've read about how close he came to total disaster. If he had died there in those waves, he would have been lost forever. Man, a woman, a child who deliberately defies God, if they die in that unrepentant state, they are lost. Here in this world, he made great misery for himself, didn't he? The terror of that descent into the ocean water. The choking, the seaweed that twists itself round his head. He says, I felt as if I were already in hell. But if he had died in that state, he would have been in hell. That's Jonah. A man who did something so wicked, so foolish, so dangerous. And so my message throughout this series so far to those of you who are believers has simply been this: don't do it. For God's sake, don't do it. For your sake, don't do it. Any of you are battling with some temptation, if any of you are contemplating going somewhere that God has forbidden, doing something that you know is against God's command, something that's against the plain commands of God in this book, just don't do it. It's your happiness that's at stake. It's your soul that's at stake. Don't do it. If Jonah were here standing next to me, he'd say to you, don't do it. I tell you, weeping, what a fool he was and how wicked he was. And he'd say to you, don't do it. He'd say, it's not worth it. That's the message that I hope has come through so clearly in these past weeks. But tonight it's a different message I want to preach. Because it may be that for some of you it's too late to give you that warning. Because you've already done it. It may be that there's one of you sitting here tonight who's already made that decision. You've already chosen a path that you knew was deliberate disobedience against God. I don't often preach with the consciousness of our wider audience, but we do have a wider audience. It may be that the message I'm preaching tonight isn't for anybody sitting here. Maybe it's for somebody listening over the web in some other part of the world. But one way or another, I want to preach tonight to that someone who has already done it, who's already done something that they knew was setting themselves against God's will, God's plain command. It might be a Christian who's chosen a career or a job that he knew would involve him in sin. He applied to work in a particular company, and as he read through the company prospectus, or as he sat in the interview, he began to realize that some of the things that company would require him to do were simply sinful things. The interviewer said to him, "Well, working for this company, if you're going to fit in, then this will be what we'll expect from you. Do any problems with that?" And this believer thought of God's word and the fact that the things he would be expected to do were things that were plainly forbidden by God's word. And then this believer thought about the rewards, and he thought about the salary, and he thought about the alternatives, and he looked at the interviewer and said, no problem, I want this job. Maybe I'm talking to the girl who waited for years for God to send a Christian partner, a Christian man she could marry. And she grew tired of waiting. And then that unconverted man came on the scene. And started courting her. And she knew. She knew that this was against God's command. But she said, I don't care. I can't wait. And I love him. And I'm not going to throw away that love. And she married him. Maybe I'm speaking to the person who did break up their marriage. They were married. And they grew tired of their marriage for whatever reason. And they knew what God's word said. What God has joined, let no man put asunder. And they said, I don't care. I need out and I'm going to have out. Maybe I'm talking to the person who made a mess of things in a particular church. Who acted badly in a particular church. And they knew what they had to do. They had to say sorry. Because that's what God's word commands. They knew they had to sort it out. They said, no, I'm not going to do that. Because it would have meant losing face. It would have meant swallowing their pride. It would have meant embarrassing admissions. And so they walked out. And they knew that they were disobeying God's command. I'm speaking tonight to somebody who's made that sort of decision. Maybe nobody else knows about it. If it were one of those that I've just listed, I guess in most cases it would be public. But it's not always so. There are Christians who are living with the knowledge that in some way that isn't public, they've deliberately disobeyed God's command. They've walked away. They've run away from God. Now, the first thing I have to say to anyone who's in that position is simply this. Repent. Repent. Come back now. Go back to God now. And ask for forgiveness now. Jonah did that. Jonah repented. We thought about that last week. As he sank into the waters, as he realized that he was drowning, as he realized the appalling disaster he had brought on himself, he cried out to the Lord. He cried to the Lord to rescue him. He cried to the Lord for forgiveness. He admitted how stupid and wicked he had been. He repented. And the Lord forgave him. And the Lord rescued him. The Lord sent that great fish to swallow him and rescue him from the water. It wasn't too late for Jonah. Wasn't too late for him to repent. He'd left it till the very last moment. He'd left it until things had gone so badly wrong that it seemed that there was no rescue possible. And even then, this God was so gracious that even then he was willing to forgive. But don't leave it till then. Don't leave it till you're in the same sort of dreadful situation that Jonah was in. Don't leave it to the point where you've wrecked your life completely. Go back to God now. Satan will tell you you can't come back to God. Satan will say to you it's too late for you. Satan will say that after the insult you've done to God, there's no way that God can accept you back. Satan will say to you you've lost God's favor forever. You've sinned it away. But one of the reasons the book of Jonah is here in the Bible is to tell us that it's not true. One of the reasons the book of Jonah is here in the Bible is to tell us that our God is more gracious than we can imagine. If he could forgive Jonah, then he can forgive you. However deliberate your disobedience was, however clear his command was, However hardened you were, however persistent you've been in your disobedience, you've not run further from God than Jonah did. And the God who forgave Jonah can forgive you. Come back to him now. Just listen to Jonah's testimony. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave I called for help, and you listened to my cry. Isn't that awesome? That this believer who had acted so wickedly, so foolishly, who had wrecked his own life so totally, cried to the Lord. And the Lord in that moment forgave him. That's the first thing I want to say to you. Just come back. Repent. But maybe you've already done that. Maybe I'm talking to somebody who has repented, who has come back to God. And like Jonah, you're sure you have been forgiven. Like Jonah, you are very grateful that God has brought you back and has forgiven you. I mean, we've got this wonderful song of thanksgiving that Jonah sings even in the belly of the whale. He's so grateful. God has forgiven him. I, with a song of thanksgiving, I'll sacrifice to you. What I vowed, I'll make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. Maybe that's you. Maybe you have come back. And God, for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, has forgiven you. You know it's true. And you feel a deep gratitude. And yet, you may still be haunted by the thought of what you did. You're still haunted by the choice that you made then. And it may be that you're still living with the consequences of it. All right, when you repented, you left that job, you left that company. But that means that you're unemployed now. And it means that the boss you were working for through those years won't give you a reference now. You're living with the consequences. You're married to that unbelieving man now. And yes, you love him, and you think he loves you, but you're still conscious of the fact that at the deepest level you can't share with him. And you're aware of the fact that your children are growing up under the influence of an ungodly father. You're living with the consequences. You did break up your marriage. And all right, God's forgiven you. But it means you've lost your children. It means you've lost your home. All right, you've settled in another church now. And you've made friends there, but it's not the same. Because that's really where your roots were, in that church you walked away from all those years ago. You've lost the fellowship you once had there. You're living with the consequences. There are many Christians who at some point in their life make that deliberate decision to disobey God's clear commands. And God chastens them, just as he did Jonah. And they repent by God's grace, just as Jonah repented. And they're forgiven, just as Jonah was forgiven. And they have restored fellowship with God, just as Jonah did. And yet they have to live with the consequences of their sin. And the thought is in their mind all the time, things aren't what they could have been. whatever happens now, whatever blessings God may give me now, it's going to be second best. I've heard Christians say it. They've said, I'm living in God's second best now. I forfeited the blessing that God had for me by my disobedience. And I have to live with God's second best now. All right, I've been forgiven, but I can never be as blessed as I would have been. And I can never be as useful as I would have been. And when a believer feels that way, when they think that way, then they're left paralyzed. A believer who has that second best mentality, I'm doomed to have only the second best, that believer won't enjoy the good things that God does give him. Because he'll always be comparing what he has with what he thinks he might have had. Whatever good things God does give him, he'll be saying, but this wasn't the plan. This wasn't what I might have had. This wasn't what I should have had. He may even feel, I shouldn't be enjoying this. Here's this girl who married the unconverted man. And now she's got these children. And she can't enjoy them. Because she's thinking to herself, I shouldn't have these children. These children are only the result of my disobedience. This is all part of the second best in which I have to live now. A believer who thinks that he's doomed to a second best Christian life isn't going to feel confident in witnessing to others. Because he's going to be thinking all the time, but I don't deserve to be used by God. How can I speak? I'm not somebody who's really where I should be. I'm not somebody who's really on the track that God wanted me on. How can I talk boldly to others about Christ? A believer who's locked into that mindset isn't going to expect God to use him. And he's not going to be looking for ways in which God can use him. Because he thinks, I forfeited that. God might have used me. God would have used me if I hadn't disobeyed him then. But it's too late now. I've blown it. Jonah chapter 3 verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah, it's not too late. Jonah, I'm calling you again. Jonah, I'm giving you back your usefulness. Jonah, you're going to be my prophet again. God spoke to Jonah again. God commissioned Jonah again. And God used Jonah far more wonderfully than he could have done if Jonah had never fallen. What happened when Jonah went to Nineveh? Jonah was used beyond all expectations. He goes into that pagan, wicked city, and he stands there in the middle of the city, and he declares God's word, and a whole city is turned to God. From the lowest slave in the city to the king on his throne, every person in Nineveh is on their knees before God pleading for mercy. And what was it that made Jonah so effective? Talked about that last week. It was the fact that he had been cast into the sea. The fact that he had been swallowed by that great fish. The fact that he had been brought back again from the dead. That was what gave his message its huge effectiveness. Jesus said so. Jesus said that was the sign that was given to Nineveh. The fact that Jonah went into the deep for 3 days and came back after 3 days. That was the sign that God used to turn the hearts of the people of Nineveh to himself. Jonah's message was so powerful because of what he had experienced. And what he experienced, he would never have experienced if he hadn't sinned when he did. Second best? No. No. Does your life have to be a second best life? No. When God forgives, God doesn't just forgive. God takes all your sins and somehow he weaves them together to bring greater good for you than could otherwise have happened. As you repent and as you bring your sins to the feet of Jesus Christ, and as he cleanses you from your sins, God somehow uses all that past in order to bring greater glory for himself than could have come in any other way. Do you dare to pray for that? Those of you who have sinned against God as Jonah sinned, those of you who have repented, do you dare to pray for that? Now, O God, use me more than you would have used me if I hadn't fallen. Oh God, bring yourself more glory from my life than you would have done if I had never sinned. Do you dare pray for that? Does it seem an impertinent thing to pray for? Does it seem too much to ask that God should not only forgive you, but that should actually use you more and bless you more than if you had never sinned? Is that too much to ask of God? It would be if there had never been a cross raised on Calvary. But if God's own Son has died to pay for my sins, then nothing now is too much to ask for from my God. The God who has sent his own Son to deal with my sins is the God who is now willing to pour all blessings on the repentant sinner. He did not spare his own Son. How will he not then, along with him, freely give us all things? What a foolish thing it was. What a wicked thing it was. What a dangerous thing it was that you did when you ran away from God. How wonderful then that he should have chased you. How wonderful that he's brought you to repentance. How wonderful that he's forgiven you. And how wonderful that now you can have the best. You're going to have all his best blessings in the situation that you are in now. Whatever consequences you're living with, you can still have the best. You can have the best of his fellowship. You can have the best of his love. You can have the best of his blessings. You can have usefulness in his service beyond anything you could ever have imagined. Pray for it. Expect it. And give thanks for it.